Hello and welcome to Global Sanctuary for Elephants podcast, Global Rumblings. Global Sanctuary for Elephants, or GSE for short, is a non-profit organization with a mission to create vast safe spaces for captive elephants where they are able to heal physically and emotionally, often from very traumatic pasts. I'm your host, Nadia Mari, and I'll be taking you to the lush jungle of the Mato Grosso region in central Brazil, home of GSE's initial project, Elephant Sanctuary Brazil. Currently home to six female Asian elephants, lovingly referred to as the girls. Hello, everybody. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us again this week for a new episode of Global Rumblings. In this week's episode, we'll be introducing you to Lady, the sanctuary's fifth elephant. So let's head over to Brazil to say hi to Kat and Scott. Hello, you two.
Hey, Nadia.
Hey, Nadia. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. Very excited about our episode today and learning more about Lady. In our last episode, we talked about Ramba's passing, a sad but also a happy episode in the sense that we were very grateful that she did finally make it to sanctuary against all odds. And roughly 5 weeks after Ramba arrived on the 29th of November 2019, Lady arrived. So tell us about her.
Where to start with Lady? Our first introduction to Lady was probably back in 2013 when we first came to Brazil. It was during our exploratory trip to December 2013-ish. And we were shown a video of an elephant that was behind a wall of wire and stumps and chained and aggressive and agitated. A miserable, miserable elephant who was taken off circus because of the fencing legislation, and similar to other elephants here in Brazil, didn't have anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. And they sent her to, it's part of the city, it was a city-run zoo, but they didn't have any space for her, so they put her behind a storage unit, a storage location. And what they did was, to keep her there, they put a bunch of big giant stumps around her. And that clearly isn't going to work for an elephant. So then they put a chain on her. And that clearly didn't work for her either, because she was very aggressive with her nose, with lashing out at people and trying to attack people all the time. And so they surrounded that by electric fence. And those many strands of electric fence that were wrapped around her.
But it was this tiny little space. I mean, she could only take like two steps. You know, you're not talking about some decent sized yard, even though clearly that's not the way to go, no matter how much space you have. But yeah, she was chained and could take a couple of steps and that was it. And she was standing in her own disgusting muck because nobody could clean anything out because she was aggressive. And they were keeping her there, although they had said when they were going to take her that they were going to create a new place for her. And it was a year after that she had been moved there that somebody saw her in that space behind the offices, and they took video and they shared that with the news stations. So then it became public that this was the situation that Lady had ended up in.
And I'm going to stand corrected, it wasn't in 2013. It was actually when we moved here. It was in 2014 that we heard about her, because I remember the letters that we were trying to write with them were early 2015, I believe.
I don't think anyone would hold it against you.
Yes, but just in case.
So she was confiscated due to the new legislation from the circus, but put into a zoo who were obviously not able to care for her at all, just tying her up for a year.
Exactly. And it's unfortunately, it's not atypical here. And we've talked about that with Maya and Gita. You know, removed from the circus, either confiscated or because of an agreement between authorities and the circus owner, which is sometimes the case, because the circus owner was still somewhat involved. I remember he came back a little while later to do foot trimming on her. Her feet were a complete horrific mess. And he did foot trimming, which did nothing. It made him slightly more aesthetically pleasing, but only slightly. So he was still involved in some degree. And then we got
very free contact dominance. I mean, the videos we were shown of her having her foot treatment done, very typical circus style, dominating her to lay down and so on and so forth. So again, this is supposed to be a better environment for her. And instead she had less space than she had with the circus owners and was still dominated and treated poorly that way.
Yeah. So we actually got involved a little bit around sometime at some point, one of the folks involved at Elephant Sanctuary Brazil reached out saying, you know, we would like to, this is what we're doing. We'd like to be able to offer a home, but we weren't ready. Mm-hmm. We had no facility. We didn't even have property at that time. So they said, hey, we're already building something for her, but we would like your help to make sure we're doing it right because she needs a better place to go until the time that she can come to the sanctuary. So this was all under the guise of, yes, you are the best place for her at the sanctuary, but let's see what we can do for her between now and then. In the meantime, you know, can you help us with her? So mm-hmm. they designed this facility and we immediately said, this is not adequate. However, since you are building this anyway for her and it is better than where she is, at least make these modifications. Mm. And what came out in the media was sanctuary approved new habitat has been constructed for Lady. So that was our first manipulation, first time being manipulated in the media by one of these facilities, one of these zoos. So we asked for corrections. That didn't happen, and tried to navigate a little bit, but it didn't work so well.
No.
We tried to navigate that relationship a little bit, tried to, you know, keep it in relatively good terms, but also writing letters saying, this is not what was the case. This is not what we agreed to. This is not our stance. This is not an appropriate facility. What we did, and here's the letter of recommendation that we sent to the media. So at that point, the relationship with those guys kind of faltered. They asked us a couple of times for other advice, and we, you know, were very guarded with what we shared, not wanting to neglect Lady, but at the same time, not wanting to open up the door for them to take advantage of us. Along the same lines, as things started to evolve, it became more and more clear they had no intention of sending Lady to us. And several animal welfare groups got together and they started filing a lawsuit or complaint against the zoo for continued negligence.
Okay.
At some point, I don't remember what year it was. It must have been the year before she came here. They asked us to get involved with an investigation, and they have this thing called a pericia. A pericia is a person who is authorized by the government to do inspections, in this case, inspection for animal welfare. And one of the most fascinating things is they actually base this not on the standard of zoos or standard of captivity. They base it on who the animal is in the wild. So instead of saying, hey, you're authorized, where several different ways of approaching this in Brazil is, or several complaints, it will say, we are authorized to do so because the law in Brazil and the governing body of zoos in Brazil and the governing body of IBAMA says that this is all okay. And this perícia says, okay, I understand that's the law, but the nature of the species doesn't support this. And which is brilliant. So even though you can legally keep an elephant alone, it's not in their best nature, you know, to be in a solitary environment. One of the things that came up from that, this pericia was part of the lawsuit, went back to the judge, and the judge ultimately ruled that there was negligence. And because of the negligence in her care, he immediately determined that she should be moved to Elephant Sanctuary Brazil.
Yeah, this whole process is one of the ways that South America, Brazil specifically, is so much more progressive than the United States. You know, you would never have a review done for a facility that's actually looking at what their needs as a wild species would be. You know, you're talking about not just being alone, but the space they need to walk and so on and so forth. So essentially, anytime that this is done, they're never going to be able to meet the needs of an elephant in captivity unless it's a facility like this. So it's really interesting that way. But also the zoo, to save face, of course, then publicly decided to state that they decided that they were going to send Lady to the sanctuary because it's the best life for her and it's what's in her best interest.
Yeah, and I think that's where it came up is in the middle of that. That's when they said it was the middle of the discussion before the judge even made the determination is when they jumped in.
And they decided to come visit so they could like take photos and show that they were here and what they liked about everything. They were like not paying attention to anything. They had us bring in one of the elephants and nobody was by the barn because that's the way the sanctuary works. A lot of times yeah. elephants don't hang out there. So they wanted to make sure that we were able to take care of our elephants. So we had to essentially get Maya to wake up from her nap and come all the way back to the barn. She was at the far end of the yards we had at that point. So we could bring her into the treatment chute and have her do foot presentations and have her do lean-ins and do some small thing. And they didn't pay attention to any of it. They were like up on the hill talking to each other and taking photos of other things and looking at their phones. I mean, they could have cared less, but it was all to be able to say that they came here and after coming decided that we were the best place and that's why they're sending her to us, which was all a load of garbage.
And it is also a bit ironic that you have to prove that you can care for elephants where they, in fact, have been called out because they left Lady chained up for 1 year as a zoo, not able to care for her at all.
Yeah, in the lawsuit, a lot of it, all of that was in the investigation was after she had a new exhibit. And the new exhibit was reasonable yeah. by zoo standards. Mm-hmm. You know, there was grass and there's trees and a pond and it was, you know, a barn that had shelter and water troughs. I mean, it was reasonable. It was actually a very nice little exhibit. Not that it justifies just because it's pretty and nice and it has undulating terrain.
Better than being chained up to stumps.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't make it acceptable, but it was a substantial improvement. But even after that, you know, she had been there for a few years before this process, the legal process started taking hold. And I remember all of it happened pretty quickly, I think, once the decision was made.
Yeah.
It was really, really fast, you know, and I don't remember because I remember all of that was a whirlwind with Ramba coming, her getting settled and immediately going to get Lady, not immediately, but almost, you know, shortly thereafter going to get Lady, a long trip all the way across Brazil. Yeah. Not too dissimilar to Hana, actually. Only a couple, maybe 8 hours away from where Hannah was, but it was again a long trip out all the way across the country.
So after the judge had ruled that the zoo had to relinquish Lady to you, did that then happen very quickly? I mean, you just said very quickly, but how quickly did it happen? You like drove up there with the truck and the transport crate and that was it? Or did they put up a fight, I'll say in inverted commas?
You know, I'm going to be honest, and I don't remember exactly when all those discussions took place and how that unfolded. I remember towards the end, it wasn't much of an issue until we got to the zoo. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So I don't remember much backlash.
I never remember dates, so don't look at me.
I don't remember much backlash about that. I think it moved relatively quickly because this was going to happen whether the zoo wanted it or not. It just determined how well they saved face, how much face they wanted to save. So I remember going there and arriving to the airport and somebody who had been involved in the process picked me up at the airport. And I remember being on my phone, receiving messages as we are about to enter the zoo saying, you can't enter the zoo with the guy that's driving you, but you can't tell him he can't enter the zoo. Like, we are going into the parking lot. I'm with somebody that speaks broken English. I'm trying to say this. How is this going to happen? I know this is now what turned out to be, let's worry about the zoo dynamics and the elephant and turned into the person that driving you can't go. And what's going on? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And I've said, look, I can't stop this now. We're in the parking lot. You know, by the time this conversation is done, we're here. And they said, well, they can't see you with him. It's like, well, this doesn't make sense. So as it turned out, he was the primary voice behind the lawsuit. Everyone in the zoo knew who he was and knew he was public enemy number one. So therefore, if I'm seen with public enemy number one, then I am immediately public enemy number two. So it's like, this can't happen. So we said it's too late now. You know, we're already here. People have already seen him. You should have called me like an hour ago or 2 hours ago. So we get there and we arrive to the zoo and everyone is upset with everyone else and everyone's quiet and everyone's just, you can see there's just a tremendous amount of tension. So I just put on the face, I'm just here to do my job. I have no idea what's going on. I've never met this guy before. And somebody said to me right away from the zoo said, and actually one of the people that had been here said to me, why are you with him? And I said, the only thing I know right now is I was told he's going to pick me up at the airport and bring me to the zoo. I was like, I don't know anything else past this. What are you talking about? And they gave me his history. I said, okay, cool. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, I was, you know,
he's my driver.
Driver. So then somebody said, you were here before. I said, yeah, of course I was here before. You were part of the lawsuit. It's like, no, I was asked to be an expert witness. And they said, why didn't you tell us before that you were here before? I said, I'm looking at the veterinarian. I said, he knows I was here before. I had conversations with him and he knew where I was from during this investigation. I talked to your caregiver saying I'm from Elephant Sanctuary Brazil to your caregivers and they were asking questions of what they can do for Lady. All of this on my side has been completely transparent. So I'm not sure what facade you think I'm painting, but this has all been really clear from the get-go. And then the veterinarian did step up and said, yeah, of course we knew he was here before. And then they got upset with each other because why didn't you tell us that he was involved? Because then we could have stopped the lawsuit because it's like, holy cow, this is all done. You know, let's move forward with Lady.
Gosh.
So that was the start of that.
Drama.
So we eventually go down to Lady and arrive and all the caregivers are cold as ice. They are stone cold, not responsive at all, not communicative.
Which isn't abnormal. I mean, people know that you're coming essentially in their heads to take their elephant away and... who's going to be happy about that?
So then we kind of open up the door and say, hey, I know this is difficult. We know you love Lady, you know, but you're not able to provide for her the way that we can. There's a lot of things and you give some examples and you start kind of breaking the ice and just trying to, you know, chip through the pieces. And by the end of the day, everyone was much better, not fully open. And actually worked really, really well the rest of the day because the transport crate arrived there. Had a good setup for one of the best setups we've ever had to put a transport crate with a door that was there. Lady was really chill. You know, she was in her barn, which is not uncommon for her to hide out in her barn. But everything was pretty chill. We gave her access right away to the transport crate. And I believe she even went all the way in within that day. She was all the way in the transport crate.
Yeah, was she that inquisitive?
Oh, yes. That's truly her nature.
Yes, pulling straps into her container, playing with straps. Yeah, these elephants have nothing in these environments and in their habitats. And you give them one new thing, even though it's just a big silver box. And in her case, with a bunch of straps, it's still so exciting considering what their lives are like. So most of them want to know what it is, want to touch it, put it on their tongue, do whatever with it. But
yeah, so overall, it was good. I think the caregivers enjoyed watching her. They appreciated the positive reinforcement that we had, that we gave her, and the encouragement and the way we talked to her. I think the only time they had contact with anybody from outside the zoo was with her circus owner. And I don't know if they expected that type of verbal communication, more harsh. But they were great. And we talked about some of her abscesses and ways to help her abscessing and, you know, things that we could even do. Those days before she goes on the trip to give her the best life possible to get her ready for the trip, to encourage her.
I mean, the reality is they weren't doing anything for her feet. So we started foot soaks when we were there. We had somebody there go out and get some herbs so we could do some herbal foot soaks with her and try to deal with some of the inflammation that was going on. She had an old abscess on her face that she had had forever that they actually thought was her gland. You know, her temporal gland is a little bit up and to the right when you look at her, but that's what they thought it was. So had to talk about that.
They've never treated it because it's her temporal gland drainage, even though there's pus coming out of an abscess in her face. But what's encouraging during that was the community that ended up being developed with the zoo and the zoo caregivers. And the zoo caregivers were great. And several of them and interns was like, what herbs do you need? I have this contact. My mom does this. My mom does that. And they started finding herbs and everything that we needed to be able to do the foot soak. So they got really excited about being able to help her out for a couple of days. And it wasn't just about us taking an elephant away. So the end of the first day, everything was really positive. We wanted to stay a little bit longer. It's getting close to 5 o'clock and there's some security guards down there and they say, no, at 5 o'clock, you guys have to go. Like out the door at 5 o'clock. I said, can't we stay later? I said, no one's here. I said, we can go out the back entrance. There's no blockage on the back entrance. They said, no, 5 o'clock, you have to go. You cannot be in this part of the zoo at 5 o'clock. I'm like, okay, this is really unusual because normally we have some flexibility. And what we ended up realizing is because we were a little bit after 5 o'clock, because we were trying to be there for Lady for a few more minutes and there was a lot of pressure and the security guards were much more aggressive with us at that point. And as we were leaving, then we understood that that part of the zoo is actually gang territory at night. It is not the main part of the zoo. The main part of the zoo is up a trail up the hill. And there's different gates, there's different security up the hill, and that's the zoo. This was an area that was part of a park, and this park has a lake and fishing and little trails, and that is gang territory. And we saw throughout the day, people were coming across this culvert, and they're walking across this drain pipe, I guess, which is a pretty big span, you know, probably a 40-meter span with this drain pipe, and they'd walk across the pipe to be able to come and show up at the back of Lady. It's like, where did you come from? You know, I thought the zoo was the other side. And that's when all of this started making more sense, that Lady is on her own at night. There's not a security guard. There's nobody. So come nighttime, there's nobody there for Lady.
And they tell you, you can't even leave anything there. You can't leave a rope. You can't leave an extension cord, because all these people come down the hill and come into that property, and they'll take anything you leave behind.
And I left a small rope that I had put up for a people barrier, and it was gone the next morning. It's a teeny little rope, you know, 20-meter, 30-meter rope. It was gone. And I was like, wow, they weren't joking.
But that's part of talking about when people are like, what did she go through? You know, did she go through something so much worse than everybody else? And I know people tend to think that when you have elephants that struggle more, it's because what they've gone through is worse, which definitely is not an assumption that should be made. Just like people, you can have multiple people that are in abusive relationships, and everybody comes out of them differently, and they move forward differently, and they process it differently. And some people don't leave those relationships. So it's not necessarily about what has happened to them before, but how they're able to work through that and process. But with Lady, you know, she had a significant distrust of males when she came to the sanctuary. And it wasn't even necessarily guys that were trying to work with her. It's if she heard the maintenance guys at a distance before she got familiar with their voices. You know, anytime we had a delivery person, like a hay delivery, and it was a strange male voice, she was clearly uncomfortable. And she was generally better with women initially, as far as opening up and feeling safer. But, you know, you don't know what happened to her during those evenings, because you do know that those people were down there, and you have no idea what was done to her, what was done around her, what she's seen happen, so on and so forth. So
we saw in the container, we saw outside of the container, the transport container, we saw in her enclosure with people that had been around her. She was very quick to slam her head against things. She didn't try to hurt. She didn't try to grab. She would slam her head. She really couldn't grab. So I think that's part of why that was developed, because she didn't, you know, there's no way she could, most of the time, she would know where to get people. But she was very quick to put on a big display of force. And that even makes more sense when you talk about, you know, her being alone at night and trying to intimidate people away, people that may be invading her space.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah, she had a really weird scenario going on. I mean, between where she initially was, you know, chained up, and then even in that new area with all the stuff that was going on at night, I mean, it's just not an ideal situation at all, and probably part of her issue with humans, although, as most people know, she also has trust issues with elephants.
So end of the first day is good. Second day, I arrive at the zoo. I'm feeling pretty good arriving at the zoo, because we had a lot of progress with the relations that we had developed with the team. And I walked down to the elephant enclosure, and everyone is stone cold once again. Like, what happened? And I honestly don't know if this is the second day or the third day, but it was
this one was my fault. That's why I'm laughing.
I was like, what the hell happened? And they said, here you are trying to befriend us, and at the same time you're trying to befriend us and trying to work together, you slam us in social media.
And for clarity, I in no way, shape, or form have ever on social media. And I say I because at the time there was like three of us working, you know, for the organization. So I was doing social media. We never said even like 1/60th of all of the things we could have said about the zoo and what was going on at the zoo. And the lack of experience, the lack of care, all of that. We
never
definitely
used negligence. We never used anything.
Yeah. We're not stupid. You know, if we do that, it makes everything much more difficult. you know, they agreed publicly to send her to us, although the judge was going to make them anyway. So you want to try to keep things as peaceful as possible. So we don't talk that way. And it was some like...
I know exactly what it was.
I'm sure you do. I certainly don't.
And it actually got fixed on GSEs, but...
Oh, that's right. It didn't get
fixed. So what happened was they talked about the negligence and the abuse in the circus, but it was written zoo. And so in the social media post, it said the abuse and the negligence from the circuit, from the zoo. And it was
just a mistake with writing it. Mm-hmm. And then with rereading it, it was clear that it was a mistake. We changed it before it ever went public. But SCB, the Brazilian organization who has to translate everything so it can all be posted in Portuguese, since we are in Brazil... They had the original version that still said zoo before we edited it to fix it to say circus. So they posted it on their social media page that said.
Okay.
So before we even get started with Lady, we then had to build more bridges. And like, wait a minute. What's going on? So I had
that's
this
right. Because you talked to me media. And I was like, that's not what it says.
It doesn't say. So, but then we saw the Brazilian version and say, oh, shoot, that's when we realized the problem. It's like, this is going to be corrected right away. I will show you the original. I showed them the text and, you know, and I said, this was never the case. We know this isn't the case. Okay, let's try to move on for Lady. Let's try to do her foot soaks. Let's see what we can do for her. And then it was little slow pieces. And there was a lot. It was a weekend, I think, at that point. And there was a lot of extra people around. And Saturday and extra interns and extra caregivers. And, you know, so much. It was a lot that was happening in different entities. I mean, different authorities from the zoo. So there's a lot of conversation. Still working with Lady to get her more and more comfortable. Working to close the door behind her. And that's the first time that I thought she actually hit me in the face because I didn't know what happened. And
I'm laughing because she didn't hit him.
I know we're running out of time here, Nadia, but what happened was there was electric fence all over her enclosure, all over her enclosure. And that included back behind where the elephant container, the elephant transport container was. And I had asked somebody to turn it off. And I have been shocked by electric fence before, but I have never been shocked like this by electric fence. So I go behind Lady. Lady's in the container. She's nice and she's chill. And I think Trish was there at the time. Trish had already arrived. Trish being the veterinarian. She was with Lady in the front, talking to Lady. Lady's really chill. I go to start closing the gate behind her just so she hears the gate moving back and forth. And I get knocked out. And I didn't know when that first happened. I had no idea when I popped up. I had that immediate... Oh, I'm getting attacked by an elephant because I got thrown to the ground. I have no idea, but it didn't make sense because I'm behind Lady. But in that moment, there was nothing logical.
And Trish, of course, is communicating with him. And if she goes to even step backwards, she says she's leaving, so on and so forth. So none of it made sense. But
the hot wire hit the top of my head. And it knocked me to the ground. And when I fell to the ground, I fell at the gate. It was me that pushed the gate onto myself. You know, Lady didn't do anything. So that's day two, the beginning of day two. And so from that point forward, we reorganized the electric fence. And that never happened again. Fortunately, because that was really, really scary. And Lady was a rock star throughout all of that, through me putting the gate back in place and regaining where I was and making sure everything was fine. Lady never moved. Lady never even stepped foot out of the container, took a step back. So throughout all of this, all the chaos, human chaos, Scott's mistake with the electric fence, she was a total rock star.
Oh, wonderful. I think before we hear any more stories about what happened on day three, I think we'll end today's podcast. Crumbs, fancy getting electrocuted and how lucky that you only sort of fell to the ground and pulled the gate onto yourself, that you weren't, I don't know, concussed or anything else. Gosh. Yeah, can we one day maybe just have a normal rescue, you know, sort of relaxed, you know, you drive, the elephant gets in, you go home and that's it. So there's always a little bit of action and drama. Well, thank you for sharing that with us today.
Do you want a normal rescue or do you want a dreamland rescue? The dream rescue sounds like you present it, but that's never normal, unfortunately. It's not the way these go. And that's when we say people want our jobs and like, I want to do what you do. Be careful what you say.
Be careful what you wish for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll let you go. And then next week we'll catch up again and find out about day 3, 4. And I don't know whenever you then were able to close the gates and or to the container and then set off. So, yeah, have a lovely rest of your day. Until we meet up again, take care.
Thank you very much once again, Nadia. We always appreciate talking to you.
Bye, Nadia.
Bye.
Take care.
That's all that we have time for this week. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss another episode. Another great zero-cost way to support us is by leaving a 5-star rating or a glowing review, as this helps other people discover the podcast. Thank you so much, and until we meet up in 2 weeks' time, take care.